Smell them, you eat them. Life would be pretty bland without them. Now, it's time to sit back, relax, and talk about them with Ann McCormick, the herb and cowgirl, who's at home with herbs on The Word today.
At Home with Herbs here on KWRD. This is Ann McCormick, the Herb and Cowgirl here, and I'm looking forward to spending an hour with you just talking about my favorite subject, and that's herbs. We're going to begin in the garden, which is where all herb topics do seem to start, and I spent a little bit of time this morning taking a look in my garden. I thought I'd tell you what's in bloom right about now. First thing I noticed when I was outside is my garden oregano is in full bloom. In mornings when the wind isn't blowing too hard, which it certainly has been the last few days, I get lots of bees on the garden oregano. They just really love those little tiny flowers, tiny white flowers on top of the oregano. Somewhere in our neighborhood there has got to be a beehive that has the McCormick name on it, because we have so many bees that certainly love my garden. But the garden oregano is about, good 2.5 to 3 feet high. And once it finishes blooming, I'll be cutting that back, and then I'll be starting to harvest as we go later on in the summer. The next thing I noticed was my catnip is also in bloom. Now, catnip is a great plant to have around, but if you have it, you'd better be prepared to see cats in your yard, unless you're like we are, and we have three dogs. And the dogs keep the cats away, so my catnip is pretty safe. But the catnip is blooming right now. It has smaller flowers than the garden oregano. Catnip is a good one to grow. It's a nice green plant that you can keep next to some of your ornamentals in your garden. But it's also good as an herbal tea. Catnip leaves have been used as a soothing herbal tea for centuries. And it isn't just the cats that are soothed by it. It's humans as well. You know, one thing I learned when I was learning about catnip is that catnip doesn't just affect tabby cats, the ones we have around the house, you know, the felines in our homes. Every cat, lions, tigers, all of the members of the cat family except the ocelots in Central America, I think, but just about all of them just go gaga over catnip. And if you've ever passed a little bit of catnip to you, one of your cats, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Another thing that is blooming right about now is the Mexican oregano. Now, this is one some of you might not be aware of as being actually a culinary herb. It's used sometimes in landscaping because it gets lovely tubular pink to lavender to white flowers on them. It's a native to the area, hence the name Mexican oregano, but it is also used in cooking by Hispanic traditions. The leaves are have an oregano flavor, but it's a little bit stronger. I'd say a little spicier. If you ever take a fresh oregano leaf and then a Mexican oregano leaf and try tasting them together, you'll find a very more noticeable spicy note with the Mexican oregano. Now, the last thing I noticed, which was really blooming, was the lamb's ears. This is a favorite for children. If you have grandchildren or children around the house, lamb's ears is a plant that they really like. The leaves are about the shape of a lamb's ear, and it's gray and fuzzy, and they can pick one of those and just rub it, and they just enjoy playing with it. And at this time of year, it gets a flower spike, which gets about 2.5 feet tall, with nice little lavender flowers that are interesting background to the gray stalk, the fuzzy gray stalk, and then you have the little lavender flowers. So it's pretty to see in the garden and just fun to enjoy and just fiddle with the herbs and just a nice tactile touch to it. Now, these are plants that all four or five of these that I've just mentioned, those are perennials, and so they're going to grow year after year. But I'll bet a lot of you probably have cilantro. That's something everyone enjoys growing, which is actually coriander. Cilantro is the Mexican name for it. But this is one I get a lot of questions about at this time of year, because right about now, when the temperatures start to go above 90 degrees, cilantro starts to do something rather dramatic. In fact, last weekend when I was at church, a friend of mine across the church gave me a sudden wave, that frantic wave that says, can only mean, I have to talk to you as soon as I can. And when we got together, she says, I don't know what's wrong, my cilantro, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but it's got this thing coming up in the center. And I said, don't worry, that is just the flower stalk, and there's unfortunately nothing you can do about it. Cilantro as an annual, once the temperatures get above about 90 degrees, it starts to bolt is the term that they use, which just basically it starts to go to seed. Annuals in our hotter climate, a lot of annuals, when they realize the temperatures are going to get hot, then they kick into reproduction mode. It's God's way of maintaining the species, basically. It's the end of life strategy. The temperatures tell it, okay, time to set flower and make those seeds so the next generation will come along. Now, of course, the problem for a gardener is that with cilantro, what you're really looking for is the leaves, not the flowers or necessarily even the seeds, although the seeds are edible. After all, that is the coriander seed. If you're growing for it, go ahead and let it bolt and you'll have the seed. But if you're growing it for the leaves, as soon as the flower stalk starts to rise, the leaves won't taste as well. Because like all living things, when reproduction starts to take place, the entire body starts to focus on that reproduction so that the maintenance of the leaves in this case, which give you the flavor you enjoy, well, that starts to drop and that means that they become more bitter. You can slow the process down. You can cut down that center stalk, but you can't stop it altogether. So if this is happening to your cilantro, don't feel bad. It's not you. It's just the weather, and that's not a problem. So just go ahead and clip it down and then get some more leaves. But once by the time July 4th rolls around, your cilantro that you have growing right now will probably be dead. And there's nothing you need to do about can do about it, and there's nothing you need to worry about it doing about it. Now, if you would like to have production longer in the year, the one thing you can do is when you're buying cilantro the next time, look for cilantro that is labeled as slow bolt. Now, slow bolt means that it's been bred to delay that process of setting seeds. They haven't yet created one that is a no bolt, meaning it never sets seeds. But just you can get some that are slow bolt. That just delays the inevitable, but it will give you more of that production. So if you see that stem starting to come up and you know you're going to lose the plant, but you still got lots of leaves, what can you do? Well, one thing you can do is take some of those fresh leaves, harvest them in large quantity, and preserve them for later use. You can either dry them, which will lose some of the flavor, I think, because with cilantro, we really want that strong flavor. But the other thing, I think, is to take the fresh leaves and you can freeze them. Here's how I would do it. Take the cilantro, cut them up, rinse them nicely so that any hitchhikers haven't come in with you. And then you take the leaves, take off any of the thicker portions of the stems, and then you finely chop up the cilantro leaves. If you have a food processor, or a large blender, food processor would be the best thing. Put them in a food processor and add enough water so that you can create a slurry, sort of like a cold green soup, about that consistency. And then what you do is you pour that into ice cube trays. Then take the ice cube trays, put them in the freezer, let it freeze, and then after a few hours, take the trays out, pop them out. Put them in a Ziploc bag, and then you can reuse the ice cube trays during the summer. Nobody wants to have ice cube trays that are in use that aren't making ice cubes during the summer. And then when you want to use cilantro in something, all you have to do is take them out, and it's pre-measured, and you're good to go for using it in soups and stews, or even if you wanted to mix it in with other things, you can defrost it, and then it's already pre-chopped, and away you go. So those are a couple of things to keep in mind with cilantro. Now, we all have been dealing with the problem of the high winds and the hot weather. And so one of the things that before we go on the break, I wanted to point out, this is definitely a time where you need to be sure and watching the water, not just the water in your pots, but also in the ground. Those high winds will dehydrate your plants faster than you realize. I grew up in a part of the country where high winds were very common, and we had dry high winds in my area. And so I'm very much aware of that. So get out there and check the water. Stick your finger down in the ground to see if you've got enough moisture down there. If not, water it well and water it deep, because you want to get those roots to go down, down, down. That will make it better able to survive the hot summer. And also, don't forget your pots. Don't let them dry out completely. When they start to dry out completely, then it resists re-wetting. So make sure you keep those pots nice and moist. Make sure it drains well, but keep it nice and moist. Actually, during the hot weather, you just about get to that point where you always need to check them every morning. Like, you go out and check the newspaper and you check your pots. So that's something to keep in mind. When you're in the garden, check out your garden and see what's in bloom where you're living. We'll be back in just a little bit.